Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi. May it cut on Yudalad. We begin a brand new perek. This is the perek Ve'elu Megalchim, the famous perek that one may learn during Yimei Avelus, during Tisha B'Av. So we begin on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. Says the Mishnah, Ve'elu Megalchim B'Moed, the following individuals are allowed to take a haircut during Chol HaMoed, something which is not allowed, not permitted ordinarily, as the Gemara will explain. We have some exceptions to the rule. These individuals who, as a result of their circumstances, would allow them the heter to shave, to take a haircut on Chol HaMoed. Number one is Haba Memdina Sayam, one who arrives from far away, from out of town. The Losh of Medina Sayyam point out the Rishonim isn't necessarily literally the cities at the sea. It's just a term employed by Chazal all over Mishnayos and Gemara, referring to Derech Rechoik, coming from a faraway trip, a faraway journey. So he was out of town. It wasn't practical for him to take a haircut. And he arrives on Chol HaMoed. He can go ahead and have his haircut performed on Chol HaMoed. Of course, it means whether he arrived on Chol HaMoed or he arrived very close to Yom Tov, which didn't give him the opportunity to groom himself in time for Yom Tov. Number two, Umi Beis HaShivya. He was released from captivity on Yom Tov. Vayotze Umi Beis HaSurin, or he was released from jail. Rashi in Ksav Yad says that the Chiddush in the second over the first case is Beis HaSurin means Afilu Be'iroi, a local jail. Tosis points out he couldn't take a haircut in jail. And then he adds, Vafilu Manichimli, he brings the Yerushalmi, that even if it was a jail where he had the ability to get a haircut, he had haircut privileges, or it was a Jewish jail, there was no concern, he could have done it. Still, he has a heter. Why? Eino Yorev L'Odam L'Galeach Ubeis HaAsurin. This is the Yerushalmi. There is no, we don't demand of him. We don't expect a person in jail to be up to taking a haircut, to be up to grooming himself and looking after his hair. And it's not Arev, it's not pleasant. It doesn't fit the circumstance, and therefore, this fellow will have a heter to shave, to take a haircut on Chol HaMoed, the Chiddush of Tosfos. Okay, so that's the third case. Continues the Mishnah. V'hamanude she'etir lechachamim, a fellow who was in a state of nidui, which is an advanced state of cherem, of excommunication. So this fellow was not allowed to take a haircut before Yom Tov, and come Yom Tov, the Chacham decided, you know, we're going to rescind the nidui status. Perhaps this fellow acquiesced to he followed the hayrah, the psak of the bezin, which was the reason for the nidui being applied in the first place. So they canceled the nidui. Now he's able to take a haircut. Since this happens on Yom Tov itself, he couldn't do the haircut beforehand, we allow him to shave on Yom Tov. V'chein mishenisha l'chacham b'hutar. Likewise, a person who made a neder, I'm going to refrain from taking haircuts, and he got a heter on Yom Tov itself. Perhaps he didn't get around to doing it before Yom Tov, he couldn't find a heter, the chacham couldn't find a way out of the neder, or perhaps he didn't get around. Either way, this is the reason for his need to take a haircut on Yom Tov, and we allow it. V'hanazir, a nazir who completed his Yimei Tumah, or according to Rishonim and Mefarshim, his Yimei Tahara, which requires a haircut. This happened on Chol HaMoed. V'hametzora, ha'oila mitumas l'tarosoy, a metzora just completed his Yimei Tumah, and is now in the Tahara process state. He has to take a haircut, and he can do so on Chol HaMoed. So in all these cases, we understand why they made an exception, because the difficult circumstances that they were in did not allow for the haircut until this moment, and therefore they're exempted from the Isser. Ve'ilu mechapsim b'moed, the following individuals allowed to launder their clothing on Chol HaMoed, something which isn't generally permitted. The same list, Haba Mebidinas Hayam, somebody comes from out of town on Yom Tov. Um Beis HaShivya, released from captivity. Vayotze Beis HaSurin, let out of jail. Umenuda sheitiru lechachamim, this fellow whose cherem status was removed on Yom Tov. V'chein mishenisha lechacham ahutar, likewise a fellow who had a nether to refrain from laundering, and the nether becomes cancelled, becomes mutar on Chol HaMoed. Here come more examples. Mitpachay seyodayim, hand towels, which get soiled on a regular basis, Chachamim never applied an Isser or Kibbutz on these items, because they need to be tended to constantly, and therefore there is no restriction, no limitations regarding washing these items. Some learn it's referring to a barber's cape, the barber who's engaged in giving these aforementioned fellows their haircuts on Chol HaMoed. Some Rishonim learn mitpachas hasfarim, the mantles around svarim, it's a tzarchei rabim, and therefore you can do it on Chol HaMoed. Umitpachas hasfag, absorbent towels used in the bathhouses. Again, these things are constantly used and get soiled on a regular basis, and they can be looked after on Chol HaMoed. Hazoven v'hazoves v'hanides v'yoldes. Likewise, the begadim, belonging to all these tmeim, the begadim who are all soiled as a result of their tumah, v'chol ha'olin mitumah l'tahara. Likewise, the begadim of all these tmeim who are transitioning to tahara on Chol HaMoed, and need to wash their clothing, need to be tovel their clothing, hara elu mutar, in all these cases we allow them to wash their clothing, u'shar kol adam asura, and typically you're not meant to wash clothing on Chol HaMoed. Why not? U'shar kol adam maitaim asura. What's wrong with taking a haircut, doing laundry on Chol HaMoed? Kedisnan, the reason is very similar to a similar halacha that we find elsewhere. We had this in Maseches Tamis. Anshei Mishmar, Anshei Mamed, the Kehanim, Levim, Yisrael, who took turns working in the Migdash, being present during the Karbanis. So it was a weekly rotation. They cannot do their laundry. Asur l'saper u'l'chabes, they can't take haircuts. Who do laundry during their turn, during their week. U'b'chamishim u'turn, nikavad ha'Shabbos. On Thursday we allow it, in honor of Shabbos. Why can't they trim their hair, wash their clothing, during that week, during that rotation? V'amar Rabba Barachana, Amar Blessed, my time, why? K'deish le'yikansu le'mishmarton k'sheheim nuval. We want to ensure that they don't enter their service at the Mikdash when they're disheveled and looking disrespectful. Therefore, we require that they take care of themselves before they come to the job. So that's the reason given over there. Hachanami here as well. On Chol HaMoed, we have the same rationale. The reason why we don't permit trimming hair, laundering clothing during Chol HaMoed, k'deish le'yikansu le'regel, we don't want them coming into Yom Tov in a disheveled state. We want them to look after themselves before Yom Tov. And therefore we say, look, there is a ban, there is an isser, no haircuts, no washing clothing on Chol HaMoed. This will ensure that everybody prepares themselves in advance. So this applies to your typical, your ordinary individual. But these individuals discussed in the Mishnah, they have an exception, because the reason why they don't look after themselves is due to the difficult circumstances that they find themselves in, and therefore the gzera doesn't apply to these individuals. Bay Rab Zera. So you had a shayla like this. What's going to happen in a case where Avdaloy Avei De'erev Regel? Mahu. A fellow lost his possession, he lost his donkey on Erev Yom Tov. And due to his involvement and preoccupation in looking for his donkey, he didn't get around to trimming himself. What is the halacha here? Can he look after himself on Chol HaMoed or not? Kiven the honest mutter, shall we say, since it was due to circumstances beyond his control. We treat him like these individuals in the Mishnah, and we make exception for him, and he can shave on Chol HaMoed, Oidilma, or perhaps you'll say, given the loimuchach milsaloi, since it's not an obvious case, it's not visible to all. You're not a fellow that was released from prison. You didn't come from out of town. So since it's not known to all, we don't want to make exception. We don't want to steer people wrong, to have them draw mistaken conclusions that you can go ahead and trim your hair on Yom Tov. We won't make exception for this fellow. So dafka cases where it's clear and evident that they deserve that exception, but otherwise we don't allow it. So that's the shaila. Amar Abaye, so Abaye responds, I agree with the second tzad. I'm going to assume that we're not going to make an exception in this case. You know why? There's a similar halacha in Maseches Pesach, where we learn that we're not meant to delay. We're not meant to delay the baking process for concern of making chametz. So you can't design, you can't make designs and pictures on your bread, because that delays the process and can result in chimutz. Like moreover, they asked a shaila, what about this fellow Baisus, a professional baker, who had ready-made forms, right, to design his loaves of bread? Is that mutter or not? Perhaps it should be mutter, because he'll do it 1, 2, 3 in a jiffy. It's not going to delay the process. And the Gemara responds, no. Can't do that. Why? Yoimru. Because the onlookers will say, oh, kol ha-srikin asurin. All those designed breads are asur. Srikin, Rishonim says, lashon of masrik, a comb, the tool used to design this bread. So all other designed breads are asur, because we're concerned about delaying. And Srike Baisus Mutarin, and the Srikin that Baisus makes are Mutar, and people are going to get confused. We don't want to create that situation. Therefore, we issue an all-around uniform Isser. Here as well, says Abaye. Unless you're an individual who fits into one of these categories mentioned in the Mishnah, where it's clear and evident to all why you haven't shaved, unless you fit into that category, we don't allow any exceptions. We want to keep it clear and uniform and avoid confusion. V'li tameich, says the Gemara, according to your concern, how about the following halacha? Will we make exception under certain circumstances? Hod amar v'asi, amar v'yechnan, kol mishen le el chalak echad. Although one is not meant to launder on chol hamoed, but let's say a person owns but one shirt, which is only going to last him a couple of days. Here we make exception. He can do laundry on chol hamoed. Well, you're making exception. He's going to create confusion. Oh, some number there as well. Why aren't you concerned that Yoimru kol ha-srikin asur and srikei baisus mutar? This is the same lashon the Gemara used earlier by the bread. Basically, what the Gemara is asking is, how can you allow a person with one shirt to go do laundry on chol hamoed to wash his shirt? It's not plainly evident that he only owns one shirt. And once people see him, they're going to draw conclusions, erroneous conclusions. Answers the Gemara, ha'itmar Allah. We have a pshat in that halacha, which ensures clarity. Amar ma'bar vashi, ezurei mechiech alav. Look, this fellow, who only owns one shirt, what happens when he removes the shirt and washes it? He covers himself with some sort of cloak, which has a belt, which he has to close up because he's not wearing anything beneath that belt, that robe. So the belt that he's wearing is a clear indication of his circumstance. So this will avoid any sort of confusion. As opposed to this fellow who lost an Aveda, an Erev Yom Tov. Not everybody knows what's going on in his private life. And then seeing him wash stuff on Chol HaMoed or take care of his hair on Chol HaMoed might lead to erroneous conclusions. By the way, Tosfos points out that the same halacha would apply to Big Day Ktanim. The Yerushalmi says, "Bigdei ktanim mutar lechabsen b'moyed. Why did nikarim shem ktanim? Everybody sees there's children's clothing, mechlachin, all dirty. Kimi she'ein loy ela chalak echad." The Yerushalmi compares this to our halacha of chalak echad, when it's plain and evident that this is required. It's children; they saw the clothing on a regular basis. We make exception, and it's not going to detract from the halacha. Okay, so according to Abaye, it would seem that this fellow who lost the Aveda Erev Yom Tov doesn't fit the bill. He doesn't qualify for any exceptions. Continues the Gemara. Rav Ashi had a slightly different version of Rav Zeira's shaila. Boy, Rav Zeira. Uman she'avdalei Aveda Erev HaRegel. Ma, what about an Uman? A craftsman, a professional, a barber. Town's barber. Who everybody patronizes Erev Yom Tov. Suddenly, he's closed for the day. He's looking for his donkey. What would you say in that case? Can that barber proceed to look after his hair on Yom Tov itself? Kivan de uman hu mochachem mosa. Since he's a barber, his situation, his predicament is known to all. Everybody saw he left his store to look after his animal. So perhaps in this case, he qualifies for this exemption. Or perhaps you can say, he doesn't qualify. He's not on the same level as those individuals in the Mishnah. He's just an ordinary person. He's not coming out of prison, out of jail. He's not. So his situation, as difficult as it may be, is not known. It's not necessarily known to all. And he cannot be categorized as an individual who had an oinus. Rashi said in the Mishnah, you need to have an oinus. He doesn't fit the bill. It's not public knowledge. Not everybody knows why he's taking a haircut on Chol HaMoed. Many people do, but not everybody. He doesn't qualify. He doesn't have the same level as those in the Mishnah, therefore Teku, therefore Loi, maybe he doesn't have that ability, he doesn't have that tzchus to take a haircut during Yom Tov, and we leave it as a Shaila Teku. The Nefarshim point out, based on the way Tosfos is Medayik and Rashi, the Shaila was only regarding the barber himself. Since he experienced a difficult situation, Erev Yom Tov, which was plainly evident to a lot of people, perhaps that allows him the exemption. But it was never a svara to allow the public to look after their hair on Chol HaMoed, despite the fact that the barber was closed for the day. why wouldn't we allow that schus for the townspeople as well? So the Mefarshim say because they didn't experience the oinus. They did not experience this difficulty that he experienced. And therefore, they're certainly not regarded as individuals who conform to the klal of the Mishnah that they didn't have the haircut due to difficult circumstances on their account. It wasn't their situation, it was his. So the shaila only was regarding him because he had some sort of circumstance that prevented him from taking his haircut. But they certainly don't fit the bill, although they couldn't get their hair looked after because of his situation, but that's already two steps away, and certainly there was no havamina that they would have the heter. The question was regarding him because he experienced this sort of oinus, and we'll leave it as an unresolved shaila. Continues the Gemara. So who's the first fellow in the Mishnah? Habom Lina Sayam. He came from out of town. So he qualifies for an exemption. Masnisin the like Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah is not in line with Rabbi Yehuda Shita, who disagrees. The Sanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Habam Mdina Sayam Lo Yigal Layach. If somebody arrives from out of town, no haircut. Achal Amoid. V'pnei Sheyotash LeBirushus. He left without good reason. He doesn't qualify. So Rashi says, Kaloymar Hoyel V'Layotze Birushus Achirim. His trip wasn't forced upon him. By his own free will, he chose to travel. Therefore, says Rashi, Lav Anusu. So Rashi is about 4 or 5 lines up. Since he didn't go Bishus Achirim, it's not like he was in prison, in jail, Nidui. Here, it was his own initiation. He doesn't qualify as Oinus. He doesn't have a Heter. Our Mishnah disagrees. Fact is, circumstances prevented him from taking a haircut. I'm a Rava. Let me present the Machlekes. What exactly are we speaking about? Why was this fellow traveling? There are 3 options. Loshet. He went for a pleasure trip to tour the world. And he came back on Chol HaMoed. Divrei Kol Osur. All agree. Doesn't qualify. That's not called Oinus. He has no business looking after his hair on Chol HaMoed. On the other hand, Limuzinus. He went out to make a living. All agree. That qualifies. That's called oinus. That's a necessity. And if as a result of this trip he didn't look after himself before Moed, he can trim his hair on Chol HaMoed. So in these 2 cases, there's no question. A pleasure trip doesn't qualify. To go earn a living, a parnasa, a basic parnasa, certainly that qualifies. There's no machlekes there. When is there a machlekes? Between Rabbanim who allow and Rabbi Yehuda doesn't allow. There's a girsel harvacha. 2 vavs. He didn't travel for basic necessities. He went to make a little extra money. Yesh leimana, roitze masai, to make the 2nd million. That's the shaila. Mar medame lekeloshet. Rabbi Yehuda says, he doesn't qualify. It's like a pleasure trip. Who asked him to travel and return a Chol HaMoed? It doesn't fit the bill. Umar medam elilim lezoinois. Whereas a chachamim compared to a fellow who went out to make a living. Mepharshim say it's derech ha'olam, right? Yesh le'mana roitz masan. He needed to do it. It's part of life. Earn that extra money as well, and therefore, we allow him. He qualifies for this exemption. He can shave in chol hamoed. So again, we have three cases: loshet, pleasure trip, no way. Mezoinos went for basic needs. Certainly that works. Harvacha, a little extra. Machlekes. Meisvi, we have a kashan rava, who just presented the machlekes as we just explained. The Brisa says like this: Oh my Rebbe, nirin divrei Rabbi Yehuda. I choose Rabbi Yehuda's shita. I pick that shita. I follow his opinion. If he left for no good reason, in this case, we don't allow haircutting. V'dibri chachamim, I pick the chachamim. I follow the chachamim shita that they were makel. In which case, when he went out, was permission, meaning he went out for good reason. End quote. That's the price. So up until now, we had three terms. Loshut, mezoinus, harvacha. Now come two new terms. Birshus and shaloi birshus. What's going on? What exactly are these terms referring to? My shaloi birshus. Rabbi says, I paskin like Rabbi Yehuda when he went out shaloi birshus. What does that mean? Which one of these three cases are we speaking about? Ilema loshet, he went out for a pleasure trip to tour the world. He went out for a vacation. In this case, Rabbi says, I pick Rabbi Yehuda. This doesn't qualify. Well, all agree it doesn't qualify. There's no machlokes at all, but obviously you just told me, Dibra kol aser. Even Chacham agree it's aser in the case of loshet. Oh, ve'elo lemezoinos. Apparently, when Rabbi says, I paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, in a case of shaloi birshus, he means he went out to earn a living. What do you mean? In that case, there's no machlokes either. Va'amris, you just told me, divra kol mutar, all agree, the mezoinos qualifies. It's a necessity. Ela pshita l'harvacha. Apparently, when Rabbi says, I paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, I prefer Rabbi Yehuda's shita, in shaloi birshus, he's referring to, you want to turn that extra money. That's what shaloi birshus means. It wasn't a necessity. It wasn't vital and critical. He chose to travel, okay? Under the circumstances. Under the results. Suffer the consequences. So I pass on like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, Ema Sefer. Let's continue with Rabbi. Rabbi continues and he says, Niv nindivir chachamim shiatzer birshus. I like the chachamim shita, who allow, who exempt, who qualify this fellow. When he went out Birshus, for good reason. What does Birshus mean? My Birshus. We have three choices again. He went out to earn a basic living. You just told me that there's no machlekes. Mezoinus qualifies. That's a true oinus. Second Rabbi say, I choose the chachamim. There's no machlekes in that case. Velo l'harvach, apparently, was speaking about earning that extra bit. More than the absolute necessary. We follow the chachamim? He qualifies? You've just told me otherwise. A minute ago, you just told me. Ba'amris, divir Rabbi Yehuda b'ha. Rabbi himself just said, I pass on like Rabbi Yehuda in this case of harvacha. So we have a contradiction within Rabbi himself. If it's harvacha, is it mutter, like the chachamim, or asa like Rabbi Yehuda? So this is really a kasha on the way the Gemara presented the machlekes Rabbi Yehuda Rabban, Rabba's pshat. But the machlokes is limited to harvacha. So now we have a problem in the brisa of Rebbe. It would appear from the brisa, it would appear from Rebbe's words, that the machlokes is all around in all cases, in all three cases. And Rebbe picks and chooses. I like his shita over here and shita over there. Because according to Rabba, the machlokes is limited to harvacha. How can Rebbe say, well, I pass like a Yehuda Narvacha, and then turn around and say, I pass like a Chacham Barvacha. And says the Gemara Chikamer. Rabbi never meant to choose one Shita and then the other. All Rabbi meant to say was, I'm going to explain to you what they are discussing. He meant to present, to package the Machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanon. And he meant like this, Chikamer. You want to know what they're discussing? You want to know what's the point of contention? What's the case that they're speaking about? Nirin divrei Rabbi Yehuda l'Rabbanan. Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Rabbi Yehuda's the one who says that one returns from Medina Siyam leigaleach. His shita is nirin l'Rabbanan, found favor in the eyes of the Rabbanan. I mean, the Rabbanan agreed to Rabbi Yehuda that it's asa to be galeach. In which case, k'sheyotza shalei b'rishus. When he left for no good reason, he traveled shalei b'rishus, which means he went for a vacation. Umayniu lashut. In this case, Chacham agree, there's no excuse. He should have come back in time. Sha'afil Chacham l'nechel ku'alav el harvacha. Because the truth is, Chacham never disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda, only in the case of harvacha. In that case, he said, you know what, it's derech ha'olam to earn a bit more than absolutely necessary. Put away for a rainy day, build your nest egg. That also qualifies. But lashut? They never disagreed regarding lashut. That's called shalei b'rishus. It doesn't qualify for an exemption. Aval lashut moedule. They agree in that case you can't. That was the first half of Rebbe's statement. You should know that by lashut, by vacation, by pleasure trip, even Rabbanan agree it doesn't qualify. Then Rebbe continues. V'nir rindivri Rabbanan li Rabbi Yehuda. And the Rabbanan shita. They allow the returning travel to trim his hair. That shita found favor in Rabbi Yehuda's eyes, meaning Rabbi Yehuda's moedet to Rabbanan, in which case, k'sheyatza b'rishus, when he went out with permission, meaning for good reason, his trip was justified. What is that? U'mayniu, u'mazonis. He wanted to earn a basic living. Even Rabbi Yehuda agrees. In that case, he qualifies for an exemption. Sha'afilu Rabbi Yehuda l'necha galeim, because you should know that even Rabbi Yehuda never was chayot, never disagreed with him. In that case, ela l'harvacha, only when he's trying to earn a bit more than needed. Avol mazoynis moedelu. And of course, if he's traveling for basic sustenance, that's called oynis. That's called rishus. Of course he qualifies. So we answer the kashan rava. Bottom line is, we have three cases. Three types of travelers. Vacation, pleasure trip, that's called lashut. According to all shitas, doesn't qualify for this exemption. We have l'mazoynis. He went out to make a parnasa. That's called birushus. All agree that qualifies. The question is in that middle case, l'harvacha. He has his basic needs. He's trying to earn a bit more, a bit extra. Rabbanan say, so derech ha'olam, derech ha'seichem, you don't have to stop exactly where you need. Go a bit more. And therefore, it qualifies as well. Rabbi Yehuda says, this fellow does not have an exception. Now what about a katan? We know that a gadol must not trim his hair during Yom Tov, as we explained, to ensure that he comes in looking respectable. What about a katan? Amar Shmuel. A katan as well. Katan hanoilad b'mayid. We have a newborn, born on chayla mayid, muta l'galaycha b'mayid. You could trim his hair if he needs a trim, perhaps he's overterm. You can trim his hair on Chol HaMoed as well. Why? She'en lecha beis asurin gadol mezeh. There's no greater jail than being in an unborn state. Says Rashi off to the right. She'en lecha beis asurin gadol mezeh. Minei imay. She'en yosham ve'onosu. Basically what he means to say is that he was in a state of honest. His circumstances didn't allow for a haircut. And therefore, he's considered like a yoytzin beis asur. He fits that bill. Now let's make a diuk. V'mayid in. It's clear from Shmuel. This heta only applies when he was born on Mayid. Mikar aloy. But if he was born before the Mayid, you can't trim his hair. So although he's a katan, but you can't give a haircut to a katan. Chayla Mayid, the Ran says, because next time you might give it to a god. So there's a gzera. You can't even tend to the katan's needs. Maser Rav Pinchas, I have a kash on this. Brisa says, all these individuals who have a heter to trim their hair on Chol HaMoed, the Bav Dinasayam, Beis HaShivya, Beis HaSurim, not only does their heter apply to Chol HaMoed, the heter applies to the days of Avelis, the Shiva, the Shloishim. So if they couldn't tend to their hair before their Avelis, due to circumstances, due to a case of Aynas, all these cases in the Mishnah, these individuals may groom themselves on the days of Avelus as well. So that's the price. End quote. The Gemara makes a dig. Ha, also legaleach b'moed. Apparently, a fellow who may not trim his hair on Chol HaMoed, your typical ordinary fellow, also legaleach me'evlei. He may not trim during his Avelus either. Right? That seems to be the formula. We connect Moed to Avelus. You have a heter during Moed, you have a heter during Avelus. If there's an Isra of Moed, such as a katan, then we'll have an Isra during Avelus. Is that true? A katan must observe Dini Avelus. Ve Amr's katan is be plukta. If you're going to tell me that by a katan, there's a difference by Chol HaMoed. Difference between when he was born before Yom Tov, where he can't trim his hair on Yom Tov. You can't trim his hair. Or whether when he was born on Yom Tov itself, where he's considered Yoytzim Beis HaSurim, and you could tend to his needs on Chol HaMoed. There's a difference between one and the other. Nimtzis Avelus Neges B'Katan. It'll turn out that what you're saying is that a katan has to observe Dini Avelus. You can't trim a katan who's an Avel, you can't trim his hair during an Avelus. And that's not true. Right? The Brisa says that Mayid and Avelus go hand in hand. If you have a heter during Mayid, you have a heter during Avelus. If there's an Issa Giluach B'Mayid, the same applies to Avelus. Now, if you're telling me that a katan typically has an Issa Giluach during Mayid, right? If he was born before the Mayid, and there's no heter to Megaleach B'Mayid, if so, he has an Issa Giluach by Avelus too. Which means that a katan has to observe Dini Avelus? Is that true? Vatanya, Makaran the katan. The only reason why we tear the katan's clothing when he's an Avel is with Piagmas Nefesh, to arouse the adults. Rashi says, Sheyivku haroin v'yarbech v'chaved hameis. Rashi says the whole concept of Avelus is to show respect for the mace, like we miss him. So the katan himself is not up to that. Apparently, it seems in the Gemara that Dini Chinuch don't apply to a katan. When it comes to Avelus, he's not mature enough to experience Avelus properly. The only reason why we make him part of the process, why we incorporate him to the Avelus, Mekareas Begadov, is only that the Agmas Nefesh should be generated. Says Rashi, Avel, not because he's an Avel. And here you're telling me that a katan has Dini Avelus. Omer of Ashi, let me modify that diuk. The diuk is incorrect. Miktani ha'asurin. Does the Brisa spell out that one who is Asr to be Megaleach B'Moed is Asr B'Avelus, which would lead you to your conclusion? No, Brisa never said that. The Brisa merely says, if there's a Heta B'Moed, there's a Heta B'Avelus. End quote. That's it. Dilma, Yeshmen Asr, Yeshmen Muta. Perhaps the other side of the equation is as follows. Those that are Asr B'Moed, in some cases, the Issa carries over to Avel as well, an adult, in some cases not, like a child. So true, when it comes to Moed, perhaps there's a greater concern that if he's going to trim a cottons here, he's going to trim a gadol's here, we refrain. But when it comes to Avelus, apparently that concern doesn't apply, it's not involving Yom Tov, which is a more of a derisive concept, whatever reason. We don't incorporate the cotton into the Avela situation. So there's no right from the Brisa against Shmuel. Continues the Gemara with another version. Ameimar, and some say, V'iteimar of Shishabid Ravidi, Masnihachi. Had a different version of Shmuel's halacha, which would circumvent this whole kash. Amar Shmuel, cotton mutul gacha b'mayid. One may give a haircut to a cotton during mayid. Loishna noilad b'mayid. Whether he's born on Yom Tov, beforehand, doesn't make a difference. Because he's just a katan. And once again, it appears from the Gemara that Dinei Chinuch won't apply in this case. Remember, the whole reason was Shlei Kanis, the Regel, Kashem Munaval. That only applies to a Gadol who has the ability to look after himself, to groom himself. So the Gadol has to make sure that he's properly presentable for Yom Tov. But a katan doesn't have that obligation. Others have to look after him. It appears the Chacham did not obligate the Gedolim to look after the Ketanim to this extent. So the Ketan himself doesn't have that Chiv. And we can choose to give him a haircut on Chol HaMoed as well. So that's the second version of Shmuel. There is no concern with trimming the Ketan's hair on Moed. Omer Pinchas, Afanana Mitanina. I'll prove the Halacha from a Mishnah, from a Brisa. the brayse that we mentioned. All those individuals who receive an exemption when it comes to mayid, all those mentioned in the Mishnah, can proceed likewise during their days of avelus. So although an avel refrains from cutting hair, but if it's a circumstance that requires it, if he couldn't do it beforehand because of the difficulty involved, we give him a heter to do it during avelus as well. That's the brayse. And our diuk on the brayse is, apparently an individual who may not trim during mayid, likewise, asurin legaleach v'mei evloi, cannot do the same during his avelus. So it goes hand in hand. Mayid and avelus on the same plane. Now, e amris katan asur, if you're going to propose that a katan's hair may not be trimmed, typically it may not be trimmed during chalamayid, which would lead us to conclude that the same concept would apply during his avelus as well, well, that's incorrect. Nimtzes avelus neges b'katan. It will turn out that a katan has to observe avelus, and that's not true. V'atanya, we learned in a brisa, clearly not so. V'karen l'katan, only v'pneag mas nefesh. The only reason why we tear his clothing is to arouse the adults, to get them into the mood. But the katan himself doesn't take part in avelus. So apparently, Shmuel is right on. There is no iser of giluach by a katan during a mayit. And likewise, during Avelis. Amar Avashi, your right isn't necessarily substantiated, because your diak isn't necessarily accurate. Miktani ha'asurin, as the brayse spell out that those individuals who may not trim during Moed may not do so during Avel, which would lead you to your conclusion that apparently a katan who's muta by Avel is muta by Moed. Duma, perhaps you can learn, yeshmen asur, yeshmen muta. The brayse is merely speaking about the positive aspect. Those who have the iser, those who have the heter on moed, have the heter by avel. Fine. But the flip side of that coin, we haven't really discussed in the brayse. That's circumstantial. Perhaps amongst those that are aser b'moed, you have some that are aser b'avel, such as an adult, and some that are mutter, such as a child. So you don't have a right from the brayse one way or the other. So similar to the previous gemara, just flipped around. So bottom line is, can one trim the hair of a katan in chalamayid? According to the first version of Shmuel, typically not. According to the second version, yes. And the Ran explains the reason why not would be because it can lead to trimming the gadol's hair as well. In any case, by aval, we learn that a katan does not take part in the aval situation. We do involve him somewhat, mekaren the katan, but only mipnei agmas nefesh, to arouse the adults, Shivko Rain, to get them into it. Okay, now the Gemara will discuss the following Shaila. If a person, Lo Yaleinu, is experiencing Avelus, he's an Avel, he's during the Shiva, and Yom Tov comes upon him, does he continue observing Avelus? The same thing regarding a Menuda, a person who's experiencing the excommunication situation, he's a Necherim. And he chances upon a Yom Tov. Does he continue observing Nidui? What about a Metzora? Does that get suspended in the face of a regel? So we're going to discuss these three cases. Avelus, Menuda, and Metzora vis-a-vis the regel. Avel ein noyeg avelusa beregel. No. An Avel suspends his Avelus in honor of Yom Tov. Shenemar v'somachta b'chagecha. Yom Tov, the time of happiness. And that pushes aside Avelus. And the Gemara explains. If we're speaking about a pre-existing avelus, which descended upon him before the Yom Tov, the avelus de mikara hu, also aseid rabim, the mitzvah of a samachta b'chagecha, which is a communal mitzvah, aseid rabim, involves klal yisrael. That is something that stands higher. V'dochi aseid yachid, and certainly negates his personal essay, which is Avelus. Rashi says it's a Pasuk. Yirmi Avel Yachad Asig Lach. So we learn Avelus from a Pasuk. Actually, it's not so simple. Tosfos says, it would seem from our Gemara, that the Asay of Simcha on Yom Tov, V'Simachta B'Chagecha, and the Dinam of Avelus are both Min HaTorah. That's what it seems from the Gemara. And then he says, perhaps not. He says, Nero Li, that both are the Rabbonans. The concept of Avelus is the Rabbanon, the Pesukim only, Asmachta, support, and likewise, Simchas HaRegel although we have a pasuk, v'samachta b'chagecha, that's referring to shalmei simcha, when we can have the karbonis during the zman hamikdash, but the zman hazeh there is no mitzvah of simcha b'regel min haTorah. So they're both derabbanans. I say this is second pshat, but either way, both observances, so to speak, the simchas haRegel and the avelas of the aval are both on the same plane. Either they're both deraisa or they're both derabban. Otherwise, the equation wouldn't work. Gemara's mashma that they're both, you know, on the same level, but one is a asay the rab, one is a asay the yachad. The Rambam actually learns, Rambam Hilchos Yom Tov, that even bezman hazeh, v'samachta b'chagecha applies, although we don't have the karbanos, the shlomim, to be happy with, but in any which way that we generate happiness amongst ourselves, eating, drinking, dress, all that is included in Simchas Yom Tov min haTorah. So the Farshim explained that apparently, according to the Rambam, the concept of Avelis as well as the Reis. Again, that's the equation here. They're both on the same level. Just one is a Rab, one is a Yachid. In any case, that's the conclusion. There's no Avelis during Yom Tov. The Avelis the Hashtahu. And let's say the Avelis arrived on Yom Tov itself. It's a fresh Avelis. Again, Le'ose Asay the Yachid, V'dach Asay the Rab. He's already experiencing Yom Tov, which is an Asay the Rab, a communal, public Asay. And that stands higher than a personal essay, than the Avelis, which is his own personal business. So Avelis doesn't get in the way of Regel. What about Menuda, a person who's in Chira? Mao Sheyinhoig Niduya Beregel. Is he going to observe the halachas of Nidu? Stay out of four amos, let us hear all the halachas we're going to see tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. That's also a form of mourning, of Avelis, of sadness. Does he keep on going during Yom Tov or not? Rabbi Yosef Tashma, I'll prove to you that he does. Nidui applies even during Yom Tov. Brisa says that Bezdin conducts all kinds of court cases during Chol HaMoed. And we know that Bezdin would enforce their rulings, would sort of reinforce their authority by means of Chirim and Nidui. Right? It's the only way it works. You have to have some sort of a stick to utilize as your final threat when trying to carry out the verdict, right? So if the Barisa says, Donen dinin nefashis, v'dinin makas, dinin mamnes, all types of dinim, chiyuv misa, malkus, financial litigation, all these things Bezna will conduct on Chol HaMoed. And we assume that this fellow is not going to listen to the psak Bezna, what's going to happen? They're going to pull out the stick. Misham tinale, I'll put him in chira. Says Rabbi Yosef, isn't that the biggest raya? That chirim, that nidui, are applicable during Yom Tov. Really, sakadaitach in noyeg nidui beregel. If you're going to tell me that nidui does not hold true during Yom Tov, v'shumat v'asim yikara. So think about it. A fellow who already was in a state of shamta. This is just another term for chirim. Chirim, shamta, nidui, pretty much related to each other. So this fellow is a meshumat v'asim yikara. He's already been placed in chirim before Yom Tov. What happens? Asi regel dachile. Yom Tov comes and pushes it aside. Hashtem isham tinile anon. You're going to tell me that we can put a person in chayim today? If a pre-existing nidui gets set aside because of the power of Yom Tov, certainly we can't introduce it today. In fact, as we do, the Brisa says, the Bezdin gets involved in all types of litigations, which necessitates chayim being used as a reinforcer of that verdict. That's a raya that either does apply during Yom Tov. Amalei Abaye, no, not necessarily. Perhaps when the Brisa says Bezdin sits down to all these dinei Torah, we're not speaking about a psak din, which requires enforcement. We're speaking about leyune bedine. They sit down, they discuss, they analyze, without coming to conclusions at this point. Rather, that waits until after Yom Tov when they get back the power of chirin. If you don't agree with me, I'm actually going to prove it to you. Because dinei nefashis ektanim, the Brisa says, they do dinei nefashis. They apply the death penalty? Lamaisa? Hachinami dekatlinanai? You mean to say they actually can bring misa on a person on Yom Tov? That's a problem. Why? V'kamim neim simchas Yom Tov. It's going to get in the way of simchas Yom Tov. They're not allowed to eat and drink on that day, the Sanya. B'kibayim, menayim, the Sanhedrin. Shogres ha-nefesh. But where do we learn that if Bezdin kills a person due to a chet, due to an avera. She'ein toyamin kolayse ayoyim, they may not partake in any food throughout that day. Tamad loyma, we learn it from a pasuk. That's machta. Lo yisleich lo adam. Whenever dam is involved, whenever death is involved, no eating should take place. Apparently they can't do misa. Practically, they can't bring misa on Yom Tov. It's going to interfere with Simchas Yom Tov. Oh, some of the Brisa says they do dine nefashas. Ella, apparently all it means is leyuna b'dine. They analyze, they delve into the topic. They deliberate, but they don't actually bring about a psakdin. Hachinami leyuna b'dine. Likewise, when it speaks about dine makas, dine mamres, that's all it means, deliberation, without a verdict. In which case, they don't need the shamta power at that point. You have no right. That shamta, neither the chirm, is applicable during Yom Tov. Amar later, basic response, but you can't say that. They're going to deliberate without conclusion? Im kein, if that's the case, then say saman es dina, you're going to prolong his agony. You're not allowed to do that. You can't begin the din now and only issue the verdict a week later. That's ini adin. Right? You can't start discussing din in the fashis and only punish him a week later. That doesn't work. Answers the Gemara, and Rashi adds the word Elo. Let's go back to square one. Says the Gemara, you know what? We're speaking about a real din. A real verdict that they're issuing on Yom Tov itself. It's the only way to learn the Brice. Otherwise, you're getting involved in Ini HaDin and prolonging the din, which is not allowed. So they're issuing a Psak din. Just as exactly as Rav Yosef suggests. That's the discussion in the Brisa. They sit down to really go through the din and issue a psak, issue a verdict. And we have arrived from here that shamta, that nidui, that chirim is applicable during Yom Tov. Otherwise, they don't have the power to enforce their verdict. But we're left with one question. What about Simchas Yom Tov? Once they bring about Misa, they can't eat or drink. The answer is like this. They're going to work it out. Also mitzafra, they come in the morning. They begin deliberations. And they come very close to a verdict. They pretty much conclude without concluding. They come back home, eat and drink throughout the day. So they have some Simchas Yom Tov. And then they return to Bezin right before nightfall. They come back to Bezin right before Shkia. They conclude the din, the katle, and they apply Misa to this person. So the Gemara is concluding like Rabbi Yosef. We had a shayla. Does nidui apply during Yom Tov? Yes, it does. The fact is, they do dini nefashas, dini mamres, dini makas, which only works if they have the power of nidui to enforce their ruling. How do they do dini nefashas? In the manner that we just mentioned. They begin in the morning, take a break, and conclude towards evening. Amabayi. Toshma, I'm going to prove that nidui is suspended. I'm going to disagree with Rabbi Yosef. The concept of chirim doesn't apply during regal. Simchas regal cancels out the avelus of the menuda. The Mishnah says, umenuda shetir lechacham. One of the individuals who's exempted from the isra of giluach and chol hamoed is a menuda. Shetir lechacham. And Abaye understood the Mishnah means that nidui as a concept is mutter on regal. It's not speaking about an individual case where they decided to cancel his personal nidui. No. Menuda she'etir l'chacham means nidui doesn't apply during Yom Tov. So his fellow entered Yom Tov in a state of nidui. Come Yom Tov, that nidui sort of gets cancelled, and that's why we allow him a haircut. Amar Rava, no. Miktani she'etiru l'chacham. Does the Mishnah then say that the concept of menuda is suspended on regal? No. She'etiru l'chacham miktani. It was exempted, it was cancelled on an individual basis. This fellow's nidui was removed. Why? Because he behaved, became a good boy. The azul, a pais lebadinai. What happened was, he refused to pay the debt that he was supposed to pay, and he went and appeased his baldin, he paid up. Vasi kamed rabban, he came back to rabban, he told him that he acquiesced, that he followed the psak, surely, and they removed the nidui. But certainly the concept of nidui is still applicable during regal. There's no right for Ma'al Mishnah. So what's the third case? Mitzer. Ma'u sheyanek tzurata beregel. Is the Mitzer going to keep to his dine mitzvah, Rashi says. He has to stay out of town. Can't trim his hair. Do these things apply during Yom Tov? Rabbi Tashma, being a raya? That it does. Mishnah says, V'hanazir ha-mitzvah, ha-oyle mitumas la-tarosi. So mitzvah, who's now transitioning from tumah to tahara, has to shave his hair. Right? Since this happens on Chol HaMoed, we allow it. We have a diuk. Ha, b'mei tumas la-noik. He's only shaving because he's entering the phase of tahara. Apparently, if he's still a full-fledged tummy, hadn't arrived at the state of tahara, he doesn't shave. He's not megaleach. It's pretty clear from the Mishnah that a mitzvah will maintain his dinim during Yom Tov as well. Lemi boy come or no? Perhaps the Mishnah is using a method called lemi boy. Needless to say, lemi boy made to masay loy noik. Needless to say, then when he's really still tummy, he's a full-fledged mitzvah. He won't keep to the dinim mitzvah during regal, which overrides, which cancels his dinim. That's pashat. Aval l'taharasa, but perhaps when he's now transitioning from tumah tahara, he needs to take a haircut, he needs to bring karbonos. Perhaps there's more concern there. We shouldn't allow this to happen on Chol HaMoed. We shouldn't allow him this haircut now. You know why? Not because of the Isser Giluch on Chol HaMoed. That's mutter. But perhaps nigzer Shema Yasha Karbonosav. There's always a concern that this fellow might think, you know, why make two trips to Yerushalayim? I'm going up there for Yom Tov anyways. I'll do my giluach, my karbonis at that point. This fellow was already finished his mitzaras 3 6 months ago. He decided to postpone it until Yom Tov comes around. And there's a concern, Rashi says, you know, he might inadvertently bring his karbonis on Yom Tov itself, on the actual, you know, the Yom Tov, not just the Chol HaMoed, the Yom Tov itself, where you're not allowed to bring private karbonis. That's one pshat in Rashi. Others learn he might miss the Yom Tov altogether and be over the Isser Bal Ta'ach, whatever it is. When he's transitioning to Tahara, there is more concern. Perhaps there is more reason not to allow it. Don't allow him that haircut on Yom Tov because it might bring about a procrastination and delay in his mind. Kamashma, the Chiddush says, no, we're not concerned about that. So bottom line is, perhaps any mitzvah can groom himself on Chol HaMoed, whether he's transitioning to Tahara, or even when he's still a full-fledged tummy, because maybe regal overrides tzaras. We have no raya one way or the other. To Amar Rav Tashma, I'll bring a raya that even during the regal, a mitzvah keeps his halachas. Pasuk says, Vatzorua. A tzorua has to let his hair grow, tear his clothing. The word Vatzorua is an extra pasuk. We know we're speaking about a mitzvah. La rabbis, what are we coming to include? Kohen Gadol. Even a Kohen Gadol, if he's a mitzvah, he has to keep to the halachas of a mitzvah. That's the price. Let's stop and think. What is a Kohen Gadol? It's like Yom Tov all year round for him. Fact is, his dini avelus gets suspended because he's a Kohen Gadol. He can bring karbonis. We treat it as though he's a mole of Yom Tov. Just as Yom Tov pushes away avelus, as we learned, a Kohen Gadol, his entire life is one big Yom Tov and pushes away his avelus. But Kohen Gadol, l'chol hashana k'regel l'kuli amadami. By a Kohen Gadol, his entire year is like an ordinary person's regel. L'chol hashana k'regel l'kuli amadami. This not as we find in the Mishnah, that Kohen Gadol makriv oinen, even if he's a fresh oval, a relative just passed away, he can bring karbonis. He can't eat the karbonis. But apparently his status, his Kohen Gadol status, pushes aside the sadness of the avelus to a certain extent. So to a certain extent, he has a din of a Yom Tov the entire year. And we just learned in the Braisa that he experiences tzaras. He has to keep to the halachas of tzaras. Shema Mino, this is a riot to our Shaila, that noyik tzarate beregla Shema Mino, that even during Yom Tov, a mitzvah must keep to his dinei tzaras. So bottom line is, regarding during a regal, avelus gets suspended, menuda, according to Rabbi Yosef, is intact, and likewise, tzaras. Okay, let's do a quick chazar of today's daf. One is meant to groom himself in anticipation of Yom Tov. Don't leave the grooming and the laundering for Yom Tov. In fact, Chacham made an isser. Don't do these things on Yom Tov to ensure that one presents himself properly in honor of Yom Tov, Kadesh Le Yikansu, L'Regel, Kashem Nival. We make exception in extenuating circumstances, the fellow coming from a faraway trip, the fellow released from prison, etc., etc. What about a person who was busy, lost an Aveda of Yom Tov? He got a chance to trim his hair. We don't allow for that. It's not enough of a clear-cut situation. What about the barber, town's barber, who went through that situation? In that case, it's more a public scene. We leave it as a teiku. A fellow coming from Dinas Ayam, Well, we have three different cases. Loshut went out for pleasure. The Torah, in this case, there's no excuse. He went out lemezoinis to earn a basic living. In this case, we allow for it. In the case of harvacha, a little beyond basic needs, Rabbanan say it's okay. Rabbi Yehuda does not allow. What about b'megalecha katan ochel amoyed? We have two lashonis in the name of Shmuel. By Avelis, we certainly allow it. A katan is not obligated in dini Avelis. What about during Yom Tov? Avelis gets set aside. It's aseh d'yachad, which is overridden by the aseh d'rabim of Simchas HaRegel. Emenuda stays intact, and likewise, dine tiras. Haslacha Rabba, and all the best to you.